Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Return of the Jedi, part 3 of the Star Wars film phenomenon, which will open nationally tomorrow. Hundreds of companies are involved in the Jedi film. For them, the phrase, "May the Force be with you," means, let the money roll in.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
Ben Bunnell here, Tommy, and boy, am I excited. Call me Big Kev.
Mm-hmm.
And joining me is Big Kev's friend.
I haven't thought about Big Kev in a long time. I don't know if you could call me a good friend of... Didn't Big Kev have something fucked about him?
He died.
That's not fucked.
No,
that happens
but I
to
think
everyone.
he was normal. He
cancel
wasn't...
culture's coming for people for dying.
I think he just died of a heart attack, but he was one of the good ones.
I think you're thinking about Crazy John.
Am I?
Oh. He was crazy.
What about Toucan Sam or whatever the dude who...
Ken Bruce?
Yeah. But wasn't there a toucan in his ads?
He had a little parrot on his shoulder.
Yes.
It was the parrot that was informing people that Ken Bruce had gone mad.
Completely mad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome to our 90s Australiana advertising podcast.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, good for you.
Yeah. Bring back mentally ill spokespeople for furniture stores.
The we do ads. We're holding up our end.
Come on
Manscaped,
down to...
more like mad scale. You'll find out more about that later. But the reason I believe, I don't want to put words in your mouth. It's the last thing I want to put in your mouth. But what
Hell
I want
yeah.
is we're in a little studio
that
we have now for doing this podcast in.
That's
Filth
correct.
Headquarters.
With FHQ.
Filthy Towers.
Yeah.
So you may, on this particular episode... notice that it sounds a little bit echoey to your ears, potentially.
Potentially.
To your ears. That's really that's really victim blaming.
You're gaslighting the listener.
You may
your
have...
your delicate little earlobes.
I'm sorry it sounded echoey to you, but what I meant was a very lovely deadened sound quality.
But yes, we moved in today, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
We have a rug for sound deadening, but we don't have anything on the walls.
There's concrete walls, and we're it's a work in progress is the thing.
Yes.
After spending years mocking people who set up their own podcasting studios
in their bedrooms
and invest in baffling, we're about to go out and buy some baffling.
That's
so
right.
Look, this might be objectionable to you. It might be too echoey, but hey, think of how bad it'd be if we didn't have the rug.
I've already started gaslighting, so let me continue. Baffling is cool to have.
Yeah.
And your podcast.
We've always said that. We've always said that.
You're crazy for thinking that I ever said that it means you're about to get a divorce.
All right, Ken Bruce.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What's baffling is how mental you sound right now.
First day in the new studio. We're going to try and do some video stuff as well.
Yep.
It's all moving forward. We've grown up, finally.
Yeah.
We've moved out of home.
Growing up is admitting that you were wrong about baffling, that you just did it in carpeted housing for a long time.
But I guess, look, like we can solicit like fan art, things to put on the walls, all of that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Sonic pissing on Mario type of shit will end up on the back of here.
That'll be fun.
And yeah, we're going to start putting little clips on the socials and put video of the pod on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. That's
the
big thing.
Get our little rig sorted out.
Not for this episode. It'll be forthcoming.
Yeah.
No.
You know, you'll end up seeing it.
We do have the gear set up and we are recording it, but that's for our eyes only.
Yeah.
You can only imagine.
That's right.
All the cheeky little Jim from the office style looks that I'm doing into
we
the
all
camera.
Practiced them and apparently no good.
Maybe this will end up leaking in another big hack one day.
Oh god,
yeah.
I hope not.
But
some of that stuff we recorded really should stay off
I intend
off the
to
record.
Masturbate during this episode.
Well, that's the same as every other week.
Yes. So I'll have to cut that out in the studio here. But yeah, it's looking nice. It's a nice room. We'll get some sound stuff figured out. We'll end up, you'll see those videos at some point so you can see what it's like.
We'll also be recording, I assume, I'm pretty sure we've agreed, the bonus stuff.
With videos?
Yes.
Yeah, probably on Patreon.
So if that gets you over the line, you'll be able to see us talking about Batman movies and stuff.
Yeah, patreon.com/filthycasualspod is where we put that stuff up. Lots of stuff and work in progress stuff, but we mainly wanted to mention it for if you're like, oh, the man cave is really literal this week. And then you had a little chuckle to yourself. Well, guess what? You're fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, that's and funny. Also, and you're right. Yeah.
There's three of us in here. It's a men cave, okay?
Yeah.
So we win.
It's the filth cave, which sounds worse than a man cave somehow.
Absolutely.
Disagree.
Okay, all right.
Hey, we'll get some license plates and Chicago Bulls jerseys on the walls.
I'm keen for a few mechanic-style bawdy nude women calendars.
Yes.
Up in the background of all our forthcoming video episodes.
I was going
to
say,
direct you towards YouTube's content policy guidelines.
I was going to say I'll like steal a street sign, pop it, but then that'll give away our location. So
unless we steal one from far away,
yeah,
okay,
we'll like reverse dox ourselves so that if anyone ever tries to come at us,
yep.
They won't know whether they're coming or going.
I like it.
Yeah.
I've realized as well, because we're doing like the cameras and I'm thinking about the tech side of it right now.
Mm.
There may be a lot when we're putting these video episodes up, you might see me barreling the cameras really often, just
good.
Making sure they're on.
Yeah.
You
should just build it into your new video persona. You're like a Bill O'Reilly type who's like, now listen to me. The thing about immigrants is I love them.
Well, your hands will come into it too if you're doing a Bill O'Reilly impression.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to wear a suit every ep now.
True.
You know, we're on camera. We got to think about these things.
Hey, Tucker Carlson's available. Speaking of Bill O'Reilly, we could get some real.
I could get his suit. You're right.
We could go find him and give him what he deserves.
Yeah.
We're going to start. Finally, you know, if we can have like a booth girl on the show. Because we've got video.
I don't want this to be horny.
Why not?
It's a video games podcast.
Yeah, good point. But anyway, yeah, exciting stuff. We're all pumped to be in the studio.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff coming along. And hell, cool stuff right now, this episode.
Yeah.
Doesn't make this episode any less cool.
Mm.
Well, you know, you got to wait a couple of weeks to get your hands on these video episodes that we're promising.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you potentially don't have to wait too long for? Oh.
But still should wait.
You should wait.
Legally, you have to.
Oh, yeah. Make no mistake. You're a grubby, naughty little boy.
Mm. Again, this is less horny of a podcast than I think you're thinking of.
Tears of the Kingdom. It's leaked. What happened? Someone just like got a pre-release copy and
I believe it's
the online.
The way it's happened generally in the past is that retail copies get sent out.
Yep.
Someone scoops one up, puts it online.
A dastardly little GameStop employee.
It's always someone who has the full setup to pirate and like release that game.
Yeah.
Weirdly, it's never just like, oh yeah, I guess I'll play it for a bit until Nintendo locks it.
They're
the
guys who are going to be in there, I suppose, looking for these copies and keeping track of the trucks.
I guess, yeah, if you're not that type, you just leave it alone.
Yeah.
You wouldn't take it home.
Tears of the Kingdom is out there. You've got to be careful of spoilers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go looking for it. Don't play it unofficially.
No.
Yep.
That's my official bootlicker guarantee.
I gotta say, I have absolutely no temptation because part of what was so joyous about Breath of the Wild in that first like day of it was I knew so many people playing it and just chatting with people and like everyone going off and immediately having a completely different experience.
Yes.
And kind of talking about the discoveries as you're making them with other people was so much of the experience of that game. So yeah, if you've gotten it early, you kind of have to shamefully just exist in a vacuum where maybe you're comfortable admitting to people that you've done it, but even then, they're not going to want to know any details. So you can't really be like, oh, I've gone here. What have you discovered? Like, you kind of want that. It's such a community-minded game that, yeah, I mean, you could just get it and play it, but that's like, I feel like you're really cheating yourself out of half of the experience. Mm. I'm going to go dead on midnight for this one, I reckon. I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm on record as being looking forward to this game, but it also like if you're emulating it, there's problems with it. I bet.
Yeah.
And like I wouldn't, like you're saying, like sort of, but I, you know, you,
like emulating it, being tethered to the PC to play it.
Mm-hmm.
It's out in like a week anyway.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you could just be, everyone's playing it and you could just have your hands on it. And then you're like, oh, I'm getting the bus and I can't play it now. I can't, you know what I mean? Mm. I'd love to take Tears of the Kingdom with me, but I'm forced to be playing it on my PC.
The occasional times where we've gotten a game ahead of release to talk about on here.
Like, like officially.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
As a review code. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. No, the few times I've hacked into some servers. but like Last of Us 2, I remember, was one that I played a bit earlier. That was during the pandemic.
Mm.
So I felt so alone not being able to go out and see what other people thought of it and da-da-da-da-da. But I'm nervous for the next week to accidentally be told, oh, Link's in it. No, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Reggie Fils-Aimé, ex-Nintendo USA president, tweeted, he like quote tweeted the person who'd like leaked it or whatever they had, or just someone had a screenshot of it on their Switch.
Right.
And Reggie's quote tweeted that picture and then he's put the block of text of the speech from Taken of Liam Neeson. Which is funny because it's like, no, you won't. You don't work there anymore.
Right, yeah.
It's true, you do have a very particular set of skills. But this is outside of your jurisdiction, as like, I don't even know what he does now. He was on the board of GameStop, wasn't he?
I think it was out of his jurisdiction to kill someone the whole time he was there.
Yeah,
as
I think,
well
his set of skills was like PR and marketing.
Well, they're famously
pretending that he played the 3DS.
Yes.
They're famously, you know, they're incredibly litigious, so it's like that would be the next move if they went, all right, everyone's sick of us copyright striking these YouTube fan videos. We're just going to take it up to the next level and start killing people who who pirate our product.
I don't remember if we talked about this, but one of the people who was involved in some level of Switch hacking for piracy purposes, like recently had a ruling made against them. Did we talk about this?
It was the Gary Bowser, the non-Doug Bowser,
it's
right?
It's Bowser versus Bowser.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Which is crazy. And like people keep mentioning it and then not really going into it because they're like, of course it's funny and what are we going to add?
Mm.
But like take a second, let it sit.
Yeah.
Fucking both. I've never met a Bowser in my life.
No. Yeah.
I don't think I will, probably.
No, not unless we get invited to Nintendo HQ.
I refuse to meet him just to keep up my non-Bowser streak. And this guy called Bowser, and the ruling that they gave with millions and millions and millions of dollars. I don't remember. He was like involved in selling some aspect of how to hack a Switch.
Right.
So that was the problem, is that he was
making money from it. Yeah.
Yeah. And he has to pay now millions of dollars. And
I think it was $10 million. And then what they are doing is they're garnishing his wages for the rest of his life.
Yes.
Damn.
Which is absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
And I think, like, cruel.
It seems a bit inhumane, doesn't it? Yeah.
Because normally you can go, okay, I can't pay that, I'm bankrupt, and start again sort of thing. And
right.
I don't know exactly how bankruptcy works, but let's buy enough baffling that I can find out. Mm-hmm. But the fact that exactly for the remainder of his years here on Nintendo's world in which we are just living.
Oh, if it's like Mr. Burns style, don't forget you're here forever. It's like they garnish his wages and he gets those wages from working at Nintendo. Like they give him the most menial, like he's in like a basement office with no windows. Yeah,
you're
just
the guy
doing
who
the
has
most.
To not make F-Zero. That's your job, is to sit there and field all of those emails.
Oh.
Man. And so Nintendo fucking really go hard about
this business.
Don't hack the console and then make money. Like, that's.
I mean,
pirating it is one thing, but then like making that your income is like, I mean, that's just stupid.
I agree. Yeah. Like, don't do crimes in general, but also don't destroy people's lives in that particular way for those kinds of crimes.
But I guess if you're Doug Bowser,
I'm not saying nothing should happen to Gary Bowser.
I mean, I guess if you're Doug Bowser, it's like, hey, this guy's come along and he's out Bowsering me.
Absolutely.
So I've got to really reclaim the name here and do some thoroughly dastardly shit.
I guess now it's made Gary Bowser more of a Mario figure, weirdly.
Yeah.
He's got to break free and...
He's Peach.
He's Peach.
He's been kidnapped.
I guess so.
He's been... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so don't go play Tears of the Kingdom for another week.
It's one week.
Don't download it. You could go to jail or have to pay like $100 a fortnight for the rest of your life.
I don't think for downloading it probably, but still don't do it.
Yeah. Did you see there's a person who's...
But maybe technically...
If you accidentally seed it... I think that's the same thing.
Like
that's, you know.
Don't play it on an oil rig ever.
Don't stream yourself playing it in a prison.
Don't put it on Argentinian TV. I don't know. Did we talk about that?
No, we didn't.
That happened right after we did the podcast last week. They screened the entirety of the new Mario movie on TV in Argentina. Just cause.
Yeah.
It also, there's a, because Twitter changed that you can now post very long video. You can post video up to an hour, and there's an account that is just posting movies.
Oh, right.
So, the tweet I saw was like, fuck it, Avatar 2 The Way of Water, and then just that whole movie in four installments.
That's very funny, watching it the opposite way to how the director intended. Watching it on the worst video quality, on the worst website, on the worst type of phone, sitting on the worst toilet is how I want to watch Avatar 2.
But then they also, that same account then did it for, because it's funny, I think these videos get taken down, but the account's not getting banned.
Right.
So then he did it, so then like a day later there was, fuck it, the Super Mario Brothers movie. And he put that up in like, two installments, I think. And 9 million people checked it out on Twitter before it got taken down.
I mean, it hasn't stopped them from buying tickets to it. That's like the highest grossing animated movie of all time or something for the time scale it's been
now
out.
Now that it's on in Japan, it's made a billion buckaroonies.
Mm. God damn.
But hey, speaking of piracy and movies, did you guys see this? That there's a guy who started a Kickstarter or you know, some crowdfunded thing to make a re-edit of The Departed, where he wants to take out, he's like, it's almost a perfect movie.
Okay.
Not the rat.
Except for the bit at the end. He wants to take the rat out at the very end. And like the main tier, like the main reward goal is like, now obviously I can't put this up as a pirated thing and have people download it.
Yeah.
So if you put $30 into the Kickstarter, then I'll use some of that money to go and buy a Blu-ray copy of The Departed, chuck the disc out, and then burn my new version onto it.
Okay.
Because then it's like, well, you do own the original version.
Yeah, this is an archival version.
Yes.
Damn. Lawyers hate this man who's figured out one trick to get around copyright law.
You Mr. Think Scorsese, that- sir, he thought of everything.
Yeah. You think that Marty's going to just be like, well, I guess, you know, I can't do anything about it.
I mean, it's in the case, so our hands are tied. Yeah.
He's going to get this guy whacked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're messing the end, with the wrong man.
There'll be like a little pirate walking along the banister of his balcony.
This is real Batman villain shit, isn't it? Yeah. You really thought of everything, didn't you? Yeah, I certainly did, Batman.
You'll
the
never...
pirate, his new greatest adversary. Yeah.
You'll never catch me, the Riddler. there was a trailer for Armored Core 6.
Yeah.
This week too is another little...
From Software's most upcoming game. What the fuck was I trying to say?
I guess, yeah.
Next game.
Then
most
next thing.
Upcoming. I guess that's accurate.
Yeah. The next game, it's coming out in August.
It's the most upcoming. Yeah. The 25th of August, which you'd assume is before the Elden Ring DLC, which is surely further away than that.
Yes.
A little bit of that type of gameplay footage that is not the HUD and everything up, just an engine, these robots are fighting, but you can tell it's real, it's the game. It looks cool. Looks fun. I've never played an Armored Core game. They're different to the Souls games. This is an action game about mechs.
Gliding around and rolling around and...
jet boosters coming out of your feet.
Like big lasers and stuff. And then a lot of the stuff that I didn't really know, I kind of pictured MechWarrior.
It is a bit like that,
And it is, but then there's also this massive scale, you know, huge robotic, you know, monstrosities that you're taking down in sort of like large scale near automata or even, you know, like a God of War style, taking down the massive thing, Bayonetta, you know, that kind of action combat-y sort of stuff.
It doesn't play like that.
Right.
It plays more like, do you remember they did like those sort of more action-y, I believe, again, I haven't played an Armored Core game, but this is from my understanding of them. It's like, do you remember those MechWarrior games that were like a little more action-y on the Xbox? Mech Assault, I think they were called.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a bit like that.
Mm-hmm. And like the Gundam Wing games that they made.
Probably, yeah.
What was I going to say? I had something. Oh,
Ben's most upcoming thought. Here we go.
It's getting spooked by the cameras.
Lost it again. I've lost it again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, something about Armored Core.
Something about big robots.
Big robots, Armored Core. No, I don't remember.
Fair enough. Well, I'm looking forward to playing it. I don't believe that there's any sort of continuity too much between the different ones. So even though this is Armored Core 6 Fires of Rubicon, you don't need to have played the first five.
I've remembered.
Okay. You ready for him to forget?
This would be good.
Sorry.
It's really hard to play the first five. But when they announced this one, I was like, oh, well, I want to go have a look at these. I was never tapped into From Software as a developer, so I just never checked any of these out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really hard. I think you can buy maybe like get a physical copy of like the PS3 one.
Yeah.
If you have a PS3.
Well, you can get physical copies of all of them probably
from
eBay. They're you know, again, not that we promote the Gary Bowsers of the world.
Yep.
But it's relatively simple to find a way to play almost any game.
Not the way I was looking. I really do feel like you got to seek out a physical copy and have an old console, because these were not as widespread. These were not hugely popular games.
No, they never have been. And there's no ports of them.
Yeah,
I wonder if this will be the one that kind of catches, because I feel like when did 5 come out?
It was ages on the PS3. Three, I reckon. Yes. I don't know if there were any even on the PS4. Maybe one early on or something.
I don't think there were.
There's a lot
more
eyes on FromSoft now than there would have been then. So maybe this is the one that finally kept. You know, this could be like a Fire Emblem where all of a sudden, there's just one that catches on.
The crossover hit.
And they've been really trying to emphasize, like, hey, we know you're all excited because we made Elden Ring and stuff like that. Don't expect this to be a
robot
Soulsborne-y kind of game.
Yeah.
But then there are still people being like, they're trying to say it's not Souls, but it sounds like Souls.
Right.
Because every game sounds like Souls.
That's just the kind of devious thing that the twisted minds behind Elden Ring would say.
So August 25th.
My
that
birthday.
Comes out. Is it really?
Holy shit.
How would I lie about that?
You've done crazy things before.
Yeah.
It would be so impressive that if my birthday was on the same day as Armored Core 6 coming out. I'm going to lie about this to Ben.
Honestly, that's the sort of shit that kids do.
True.
I don't know why. I think just whenever someone mentions a birthday, I think of them as a child. So anything surrounding a birthday makes me view that person as a kid.
Do you know what I mean? I know it sounds too good to be true, that the arbitrary date that they decided to release this game on would be the day that I was born on 37 years ago. But I'm here to tell you.
It's
factual.
I think it's because Tommy used to say, every time we would hang out with our friend Tim Clark, Tommy would just be like, oh, happy birthday, Tim.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, thanks, man. And it would never be his birthday.
It's a back and forth bit with me and Tim. Yep. Whoever gets in first wishes the other a happy birthday.
It's brilliant.
And then everyone around goes, oh, is it your birthday? And you have to go, no.
Even a broken clock is right once every 365 times it tries a year.
Yeah.
A broken calendar.
Well, also, me and Tim's birthdays are like 2 days apart or something like that. So maybe that's where it started from.
One time you just did wish each other happy birthday.
And then we're like, man, this feels good.
Yeah.
What if we could do this year round?
Well, a little present you can get yourself will be Armored Core. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Good. There's not a ton else in the way of news that I happen to know of here.
No, I know we've got a couple. We've got one big game that we're going to go in on for a review. Tommy, you had a couple of smaller things to touch upon.
Well, I've been cleaning house.
I've
been trying to clean the slate. Sick of having so many games that I enjoy, and I get about 80% of the way through, and then other stuff comes out, and I kind of thought, you know what? We're a couple of weeks away from just a game that is just going to dominate my life. Got to try and clear the slate a little bit here. I finished Pizza Tower.
Yep.
Great game. Had such a good time. Does a bit of a classic move at the very end where you get final boss. Final boss has a, you know, you're fighting him and you're thinking, man, they really dropped the ball at the end here. This is piss easy. You take him down really easily and then, oh no, he's got about 8 phases.
Oh.
Each more punishing than the last. All the other bosses from the game coming back in as well.
Hell yeah.
And I fall for that every time. Every time there's a final boss with a really easy first phase, I'm like, God, I've gotten good at this game over the last 20 hours.
I guess it's Tim's birthday again. Happy birthday. This will only have one foot. Just the dumbest man in the world.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it is. It's like you can believe anything if you want to believe it enough.
Yes.
I want to believe that I've gotten good enough at the game. And, you know, by the time you're up to the very end of something, you just are kind of ready to. It's like, I'm about to finish the game.
Yeah.
and it's off the slate. I can move on with my life. I just want it to be true. I just want it to be true that I'm good enough at this game and that I don't want to be spending a week of my life trying to beat the final boss of a game. But yeah, challenging ending. Loved that game. So much fun. I think they've said it's coming out on everything else at this year at some point.
Cool.
So
it's just PC at the moment.
Just PC at the moment. Also finished Dredge.
Yes.
Great game. Back end of it, the very final area, faltered for me a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought they kind of got, the last couple were just sort of progressively a bit less interesting.
It's kind of got you doing all this stuff in the final area that is like a set of skills that just is not like anything else you've been doing in the game. You're being chased by stuff and you're having to like work through these pretty narrow little pathways.
I guess I didn't like the last island as much, but I don't think I was as negative on it as you guys.
Well,
but
I don't feel the crazy negative about it either. Just like
it felt a bit like a little tedious and like they were just putting an extra challenge to lengthen the playtime a little bit, probably.
It just kind of felt, you know, you want there to be, you want the last bit to kind of be building on all the skills that you've, you know, developed over the game. And this just felt like, oh, I'm just doing all this new stuff that isn't really in the realm of what I've been enjoying about this game. Mm-hmm. I'm having to kind of like dodge these, you're being chased by these things and you're having to, and they kind of come out of nowhere and then you've got these little spots that you can get to sort of get them away from you. But it just was, it just kind of took me a while to get my head around and I was like, I want the end to feel like kind of a culmination, not to feel like I'm kind of right back at the start having to kind of relearn. And it just was, the experience of that bit was just not in line with the sort of vibe that I had been enjoying from the game up until that point. But yeah,
that's
the thing.
It's partly that the first couple are good enough that you want to do more of that.
And that last one is a little frantic, I guess, a little tense, whereas it was so, you could play at your own pace. It could be very relaxing, even though it was a bit dark and gloomy. And
I never really found that same franticness or tension from that last one, just because you've got some abilities by then that make the threat there nothing.
Yeah, I think I just found it maybe annoying is the word. You know, it's like, well, it's not as smooth as those first four.
But it wasn't getting to like cruise around. Yeah, you're doing a bit more. But yeah, taken as a whole, it didn't really detract overall. It just, when I was doing it, I was like, and then thinking about the experience as a whole, great game that everyone should have a go of.
Totally, my only loved real the like, ending criticism to it. Search for a criticism and have one.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
And it's tough. Sometimes when I, you know, read reviews or listen to more longer form podcast reviews of stuff, and the complaint is like, oh, that bit of the game was a little annoying and tough. It's like, well, it does have to have a challenge. Like, it makes sense that you'd feel a bit annoyed at having to struggle against a harder section of the game, but
and it's when it's not in line, like you're saying, with the stuff that the game does very well,
right?
That it just has a couple of mechanics it focuses on, especially for that last bit, that aren't as well fleshed out, scaled out, as the rest of.
Yeah,
I guess fish still have flesh; they have flesh and scales.
Absolutely, they do.
God, they're crazy little critters, aren't they?
Yeah. I get really creeped out by like when someone's caught a fish and it's flopping around.
Yeah,
they're so gross. That's like
being
a spider,
at the mast,
really.
Yeah, and seeing them all there just
when they're dead, I think it's fine. But when like I've gone fishing like heaps with my dad as a kid.
Sounds like you shouldn't have.
No, well, we didn't catch fish most times. But when they're just like jiggling around, I'm like, oh no.
I don't mind. I guess I don't have that.
Maybe it's my only phobia because I don't really care about snakes and spiders.
I hate a spider.
Yeah, you do.
Snakes are fine, but it's the way spiders move that it's not even that I'm afraid of them. It's that I hate them. You know what I mean?
You have like, a vendetta
I'm
against them.
I'm mad at them for when they're there. I'm not like scared they'll come get me. I'm just like pissed off.
Right.
Because I'm a fucking man, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my man cave and a fucking spider comes out behind the Michael Jordan jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's the thing I focus on a man cave.
That's a good man cave.
Yeah.
That's not a bad get. It comes out from behind the fucking Coors neon sign.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have a Bud Light sign, but I fucking smashed it.
Yeah.
I've
got a screen screenshot of the cougars, five cougars, please, or five cougars, thanks, ad.
Yeah.
Just print it out, and it's like wallpaper. It tiles the whole wall.
Yeah.
That's what you want, Tommy.
Yeah. Grainy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really low res JPEG that was blown up to A3.
Says Shutterstock
like
across
shit.
It.
Yeah, they archived the ad for some reason.
They bought it.
But yeah, I loved being able to dominate those fish in Dredge. And yeah, the very ending, of which there are multiple, I think we probably all got like the default one. I loved. It was a little Kentucky Route Zero.
Yeah,
it was very
cool.
Very cool.
There's a second ending.
Right.
That
you have to work pretty hard to get. So I'd imagine most people that play.
Not really.
Well,
really?
You just go, you do one thing different right at the end.
Right.
Okay.
So yeah, it doesn't depend on everything you've done throughout it.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, obviously I'm not going to spoil too much of that. Same as I don't want to spoil how my balls look. And you know what spoils them for me sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
Unruly pubic hair.
Yeah. Ungroomed.
Unwieldy.
Oh, if I'm a big stack of fucking bullshit down there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't judge anyone for turning their nose up.
Mm-hmm.
And so to avoid being judged by those nose turners,
that's
the worst ad anyone's ever done for anything. Five cougars, thanks. Manscaped is a good way to trim any hair you might like to trim.
That's
as
right.
As long as it's yours. Don't run up behind people and
fucking Bam Margera style.
I saw a guy walking across the road the other day who clearly had that done to him.
Oh,
one
wee man?
One scoop taken out of the back of his hair.
Brutal.
But it was a clean shave, so it might have been done by
knows?
One of the fine products that Manscaped sell.
Yeah.
Now, they've started writing into their copy the first sentence, big thanks to our friends over at Manscaped for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, I'll thank him.
I think we thank him anyway.
Yeah.
But it was just notable. Maybe other people aren't. Other people being sponsored by Manscaped aren't as thankful as we are, as grateful.
I've seen a thing, not to go too on a tangent during an ad, but...
Keep it somehow related, though.
Americans,
yes.
Some of whom buy Manscaped products, and I would recommend if you're listening, then maybe you have a look at them, will say thanks less sometimes because it seems ruder in some ways there, because it's like... If you go like, thanks, you're welcome sort of thing, that you're welcome sounds condescending to some people in America.
Oh,
I've seen discussion about this.
Yeah, okay.
And like how, you know, they'll go up and like, can I get a this?
Can I get a Manscaped product?
Yeah. Can I get a Manscaped product with 20% off and free shipping by using the code FILTHY?
Uh-huh.
Rather than, could I please have, like, it? I don't understand it. It's a cultural thing, but it's interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the UK...
Anyway, I got no hair on my balls.
In the UK, where they're perfectly capable of shaving their balls or pussies using Manscaped Spine products.
Yes, they are.
I feel like that you keep saying, thanks, you're welcome, until, like, the sun goes down.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then when it does, you say, sorry for taking so much of your time.
That's right.
And they say, don't worry about it, because all I have to do today is groom myself, and I get it done so quickly by using the products that are sold by Manscaped.
Isn't there a thing where like Canadians are thought of as being incredibly polite?
Yes.
But that's probably come from Americans who are rude as shit. So the truth of the matter
the thing I was trying to avoid saying is that Americans are rude as shit. There is a cultural a reason that makes sense.
The truth of the matter is probably that Canadians are just like borderline, like basic, decent politeness. Which two Americans read is like, wow, this is over the top.
Well, clearly you've proved that Australians are the rudest of all.
Yeah.
Exactly. Canadians are normal and you're fucked. Manscaped.com, use the code FILTHY and get 20% off and free shipping. They're really good products.
That's right. Yeah, let's like the Weed Whacker, it does your ears, it does your nose hair.
The Weed Whacker 2.0 these days. They've refined it.
It's so good. And the Lawnmower 4.0.
Yeah.
Fantastic trimmer. Speak of the devil, Tim Clark messaged me the other day to ask, hey, should I get one as a beard trimmer? Because I've mentioned that I use mine as a beard trimmer.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man, they're really, really good. And so I assume he's bought one. So,
yeah.
You know, we tell the truth.
The ultimate birthday gift. Happy birthday, Tim.
Happy birthday, Tim.
I better start keeping myself in better nick for these videos to prove that the products do work. And it's just purely user error that makes me look all fuzzy.
We're going to have to all start getting our dicks and balls out for the video episode.
True, yeah.
Prove that we're using the sponsors.
I will not repeat again that this will not turn into a horny podcast purely because it's being
filmed. Hey, there's nothing horny about that.
Can I?
If you want to find horny shit on the internet,
no
you
way.
Easily can.
I had a joke.
Oh, okay.
That would be a testimonial.
Yeah.
It was worth shouting.
I know it was.
I can't believe that hasn't come up in 2 years plus of it's doing ads for Manscaped.
Never been in their copy and we've never come up with it. That's crazy.
Well, the internet, you need to be safe on.
It's a big scary place.
You need to be secure on and you need to be traveling around on. You don't need to, but it's fun.
Like a James Bond, you want to be traveling privately.
A tool that is very, very useful for anything you do on the internet is NordVPN. We've talked about them before. Thanks to NordVPN for sponsoring this. Because the thing they make, if you've never understood how we've explained it, I'll try to give it another go.
And there is a hint in the name of the business, isn't there?
Yes. VPN.
Yep.
It is a thing you use on the internet to not have your computer be directly chatting to the rest of the world.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
I probably got it fucking wrong.
No, that's...
It's roughly that.
It's like putting up a little barrier that kind of hides who you are.
And one of the main... It's the confessional booth in the church.
Oh, that's a...
it's like you're talking, but no one... You know, the priest can't see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
The weird little grate there. And if you put on a French accent, he's like, oh, I'll give you a whole bunch of other streaming services.
Yeah,
you can use it. The functional thing is to be able to go to different countries. A cool use is looking up ticket prices or like prices of hotels and stuff if you're going somewhere.
Yes.
At a local price where they often will have it built into their website that it'll charge you a bit more if it tells you overseas. Stuff like that. Seedy shit, in my opinion. And you get around it and keep the bastards honest using NordVPN. It's the one that I use.
Do you think they're looking on the computer when you check in and it says, oh, this is a local person coming in, and then you come in and you're like, g'day mate, just wanting to check in, thanks. One room under Knox, and they're like, god damn, this bastard used a VPN.
He got us.
We thought he was French.
Yeah, and I even got a great deal by going to nordvpn.com/filthy.
Oh.
I was able to get, I believe, 4 months free.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other shit too.
A hefty ass discount.
A big old disco.
Yeah.
So let me in. Give me my room.
G'day, Nordo.
Yeah, nordvpn.com/filthy. Have a look at that deal as well.
Yeah.
Please.
If you don't have a VPN, you need one. That's my honest opinion.
Yeah.
I also finished the Resident Evil 4 remake. God damn. What a fun time.
Yeah.
Big old Game of the Year contender, I reckon.
It's a weird one because it's like, it is a remake, which usually I sort of discount in my head from that stuff. But it's such a comprehensive remake that it's basically a new game.
I think it's all new enough, And it's going to be hard to beat. It got the pacing of it is perfect. It's fun all the way through. It is kind of the opposite of what I was talking about with Dredge, where it's like, by the end, it's like, yeah, I'm using all my skills. I've picked up all this different stuff. I'm just in the zone. I'm taking out this person. It's paced so well. It's just a purely fun experience.
It's like, a great game.
I locked on to doing the end of it, I was like, just did it in two big sessions because it's like so hard to put down.
Good tip from Tommy that I didn't know. And Knox, you knew, but you fucked up. Save the rocket launcher for the end.
Oh, yeah.
Having money or not having enough room in the attaché case, and then I could tell that I was getting up to the final boss, and so I was like, oh, I'll get this now. Like,
right.
It'll probably help me. And then, I was saying to you guys, like, that final boss was like, I thought it was going to be like another... I kept thinking like, oh, I've been fooled by Pizza Tower.
Yeah.
I'm about to have another stage to this.
Time you're thinking it is the one time it doesn't do another phase.
This was too easy. I took him out real quickly because I had that rocket launcher.
Yeah. I don't remember if in the original the rocket launcher was one use in the way that it is in this.
Right.
I think that might have been why I just bought it and used it on some random group.
Right.
And then wasn't able to buy the rocket launcher as a one-time deal. Right, and so expensive for that too.
Yeah.
You can't craft...
rocket ammo for it, no.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't remember how it was in the... You do... unlock an infinite rocket launcher by doing something or other too.
Oh, so like maybe a new game that's plus what thing I'm or something of. At some point.
There's a few of those sorts of things. There's a hell of a lot of like stuff to get if you replay the game a few times. Did you jump into the Mercenaries thing at all yet?
I did, I had one round of it. Really fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I guess if you can hold out on the rocket launcher, which you can get through the rest of the game without if you're someone like me who... Yeah, by the time you get to the final boss, it's like, I'm more or less done here.
Yeah.
I don't need to be completely punished by this. Like, you will breeze through that final boss fight.
Yeah.
I never bought it. And by the end, I had like fuck all stuff. Like I had no money, low ammo.
Yeah.
So I, yeah, it, that last boss took me a long time.
I felt like Ramon was more like the final boss for me. It took,
It
took me ages. But then, yeah, then you're getting a little fucking jet ski chase at the end. Oh yes. My God. There's like minecart shit in there. It's anytime in that game, you're kind of like locked into like, all right, I get this. It's like continually switching up new stuff and just a game that just wants you to have a fun ass fucking time all the way through. Oh,
it's so good.
It's so good. It gets the Filthy Casual seal of approval.
I think I will
stamp it on there.
Yeah.
I will reprint your boxes.
I know they really have a big focus on replayability with this game. Like on the menu it has a thing when you open your file of like how many times you've played through it, and yeah, you it tells you when you finish the game, like, hey, if you go through again, there'll be different items in the shop. So it is
gonna and you get like a rating at the end as well. Yeah. So you
With all of the Resident Evil games too, where they're kind of built for that. And I never really do it that much, and I am tempted to go, maybe I'll fill a bit of time before Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh yeah,
by going
I'm
through
keen
and doing
to at
that.
Least do the first bit again, just the village with all your guns unlocked and just being able to smash through all of that with all the weapons that you have by the end of the game.
And the costumes. I do remember that, from 2 and 3, they finish up and they're like, here's all this extra shit that you can access now and, go back
through. And there's
that
store that you can buy all of the little figurines in and all of that stuff. There's a ton in there. I didn't do most of the shooting gallery things.
Yeah, I didn't do it that once.
Barely any of it,
It's a fun time. It's
yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough to and nail.
Every time I came around, you know, you're in a new area where you've narrowly survived something nearly killing you, and you roll through a door that smashes shut behind you, and then you go around the corner and the merchant's just there, just set up and waiting. It got me every time. It's so funny.
It's sick. It's
guess
such
my
a good
break's
game.
Over.
We'll talk about it more probably next week. But something that doesn't sound like it's anywhere near as good of a game that you played a little bit of is Redfall.
Yeah. Just a couple of hours, just the first little bit. I initially had such high hopes for this, that first trailer, even though it did look like what it has ended up being. Mm. I just thought it looked like such a polished and well-crafted version of it off the back of Deathloop being such a fantastic game.
Which is a different studio in Arkane, too.
Right.
I think we maybe mentioned this the other day, but this is the Arkane who made Prey in 2017.
Yeah, does it have a sub thing? Because I do think
it's Arkane city name, whatever. Yeah. I forget which one's which. But
I do, I did see that come up.
Deathloop Dishonored Arkane is a different Arkane.
Yeah, right. This is like the Rockstar North to the Rockstar whatever.
Yeah.
So, as I think we all have, my expectations were very tempered as more was revealed about it, the Battle Pass stuff, the quality of gameplay. And, it's like kind of even worse than the expectations that I had dropped to.
Right.
Because I did see a lot of early stuff of, I guess, the review, you know, the reviews, the early copies people got being like, yeah, it feels bad. It's not fun to play. It's like a waste of potential.
Yeah.
And I was like, geez, is it really that bad? And it is. It feels like, and I think one of our listeners said this, it feels like a free-to-play looter shooter.
That's not too shocking from how it's seemed.
Right.
I'd be keen to try some co-op together or something maybe
because
it's such a focus of it and I want to have a look at it for myself.
But
because it's on Game Pass, it's like that thing of, well, why not, even if it's bad.
That is the only reason I actually tried it. Like, I did still expect it to probably not be worth buying, but there's like a lot of pop-in, a lot of glitches, it's very buggy. A lot of people who've played it a bit more than me have mentioned the AI is particularly bad, which I did even notice, I guess, but it really feels like this was shoveled out by a studio who just wanted to make a quick buck on microtransactions.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's so different to what Prey was.
Yeah. Yes.
They've got a thing for, but we'll talk more about that next week probably because we'll play a bit more. Because I wonder if this is like anything to do with like timing wise pandemic stuff and difficulties of making a game that way. Because what I've been playing this whole week and really enjoying is Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just don't know.
You were
know.
Confident on the Star Wars part. And then after that, well, there's Jedi's in it.
Because it's kind of, it's because the first one was like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
And then this one is like Star Wars Jedi Survivor almost, but it's still Star Wars Jedi. The colon's in a weird spot.
Right.
Much like a guy with an asshole in his belly. But
yeah, it's not that.
I guess the
weirder.
Colon would be basically in the same spot. It's
armpit.
Around the middle. Yeah, then you're talking a weird yeah. a weird anatomy.
Colon. That's a really weird colon.
But yeah, I've been playing I finished it just last night.
Whoa. Yeah, you spent basically the whole weekend and last couple of days playing it.
As much as I could, because it's weirdly long.
Yeah,
it's surprisingly
right.
long. It reckoned I only spent about 20 something hours, but it felt like longer. Well, I don't trust this fucking clock, man, because they keep wishing me happy birthday when it's not even my birthday. Like, clocks get it wrong.
It does annoy me when I realize I've left something on pause for a long time and it's been counting that as
right.
time played, because I really, any game that does have a built-in here's how long you've been playing for, I love knowing that.
Yes.
And realizing that I've made that inaccurate really annoys me.
Yeah, I think this felt... The number was less than I expected it to be, because
right.
I
yeah.
really felt like I've been playing a lot of it. But it's massive and it's long, and it's a very fun game. It's kind of technically a mess, especially if you're playing it on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
The PS5 yeah. version is the one I played, and the performance mode is bad. It's not... fun to play that mode
yep.
of it. It is too all over the shop. It looks really fuzzy and poor, and it doesn't give you actual the like sort of solid 60 or whatever. It's really fluctuating,
right?
Especially with like cutscenes, they drop down to like fucking like 10 frames a second sometimes. It's really weird.
Yeah,
and so definitely play it on the resolution quality mode.
I disagree. I agree that performance mode is not performance mode.
Yeah,
but I switching it to quality mode, I was like, this is unplayable as well.
Right,
because it appeared to be like a 30 frame per section. Like I just couldn't. I was like, I'll rather have 9 minutes out of 10 playing performance mode be okay than quality mode, which just looked like an old, or felt like an old game, I guess.
It feels yeah. very PS3 in the way that runs, because it's
yes.
not always stable either, but I just, but muck around with it and neither are perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm a bit in line with your view, Tommy, on frame rate of like, it's 60 or nothing now. I cannot go back. I cannot adjust myself.
Yeah, because I think you said this the other day, maybe in one of our famous real life conversations
oh.
that we love to have.
Non-content. Yes.
That, you know, Breath of the Wild's frame rate was a bit all over the place, but that
I did
does,
say frame weight, though. So
frame weight, yeah. You were dressed as Elmer Fudd at the time, so it was very, yeah. it didn't really register to me. I was like,
you caught me in the woods, and I was holding up a sign that said resolution, and
yeah.
then you kept spinning it around a performance, and
yeah, yeah.
I ended up shooting myself in the face.
And again, when we have the video on, people will be able to see that my beak is on the back of my
yes.
head now
yes.
as a result of that interaction. Hey, the first one of them I've made that wasn't horny. That's pretty. That's
nice.
That's growth.
Yeah.
Speaking of growth, reminds me of a certain penis that I'm very familiar with. We're talking about the how's Tears of the Kingdom going to run, and it's funny. Like 6 years ago, it just was such a different time where it's like people did kind of notice the Breath of the Wild frame rate thing a bit, but it just wasn't a thing that people got so up in arms about.
Totally.
It's just
no.
it's so funny in the last like tracking the period where. Maybe Nintendo feels like, oh, well, you know, it's kind of online with how Breath of the Wild ran. But it's like bringing something out now that hitches and dips a bit is like people lose their fucking minds over it.
Because it's gotten so good, you know. It's progress that we've made in most games.
Yes. Yeah. Certainly on current-gen consoles as well.
Right.
The basic expectation was like, well, they're going to run really, really smoothly. Like, we don't know if it's going to affect the way that games are played or developed or
yeah.
revolutionize anything. The
yeah.
graphics will be better, but
especially
it'll be smooth as hell.
Especially with these games that are cross-gen.
Well, this one isn't
well,
as well.
That's what
this
I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, right. But with things that are cross-gen, it's like, yeah, you're thinking, well, yeah, I might not be getting the best. Like, I might not be using the bulk of this console that I've got, but I'll be getting the smoothest possible version of it.
Yes.
Yeah. But so that is a irritating thing with this. It doesn't ruin it, but it's like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, it looks good, but it doesn't look different to almost any other game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's just come out too early.
Yeah.
And then it does also have some other bugs of like characters zipping around when they shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Just like things stretching and warping. Like,
yep.
not all of the time, but enough of it that you're noticing it regularly.
There's a weird glitch where this little green puppet guy with big ears, like he's. Talks, his sentences are all fucked up and backwards.
Yeah.
It's just, they needed more time to work on it.
Embarrassing.
It's really clear.
This one guy's, I think they've recorded him breathing in the studio. He's always like,
He was choking up on the mic too hard. They should have done another take.
I think his voice is like pitched down. But no, it is like, it's your characters floating off.
I don't think either of those characters are in this game, by the way.
I'd be shocked if they were.
We're talking General Star.
Mm-hmm.
The main negative aspect of this game, it crashed, I think, only once, maybe twice.
Really?
On the PS5 as well.
You've got a shit PS5 though, don't you?
Nah.
Or did you replace it?
It's fine.
Okay. Well, it's been handling the game way worse than mine, because mine has had some of those things, but overall,
yeah,
I would say, especially compared to the reports and the PC version, I was like, oh yeah, this is totally fine, with a couple of odd, you know, minor things.
I think your mileage for this stuff will always vary based on how observant of it you are, how sensitive to it you are. You know what I mean? Mm. And I'm quite force sensitive.
I'm an empath.
But because, like, you know, when games have this thing, I find often you'll be like, oh, I think it's fine. People's tolerances for this stuff.
Well, the frame rate stuff.
I'm very tolerant, yes.
The frame rate stuff is a classic. Like, once you notice that, like, because my girlfriend playing Hogwarts Legacy and it's on the quality mode.
Right.
And I keep being tempted to be like, oh, hey, do you want me to, I'll go into the options and you can have a look and see which one you prefer. And I was like, no, this is, what a beautiful place to be in, where you just don't know that there's a difference. And she's like, this looks amazing. I'm like, it could look a little bit better. Smoother.
Yeah, 100%. So this has those things, but other than that, like, if this had been allowed to cook for longer, this is a great game. I'm really enjoying it. It is a sort of Uncharted-y, Tomb Raider-y style, same as the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people compare it a lot to Dark Souls, which, having now played those, I don't really get. Like, they just mean the combat is punishing, but it's also not really.
No, it is certainly less so than that. It is a lot more of an exploration-y.
Yeah.
Like, it's got similar qualities, but it's, if you like God of War and Ragnarok, this is closer to those than a Souls game.
Yes.
Where, like, it's directed by the guy who did God of War 3
well,
Stig Asmussen. So he...
Oof, now that's a name.
Said 10 times really slowly.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't want this to be horny. Really, it's just a satisfying, enjoyable thing to have a little cool, weird planet from Star Wars, have a bunch of different colored gates that you will be able to open with different powers over time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting some stormtroopers, you're whacking them with a lightsaber, and let me tell you, it's cool to do.
Yeah, I like that it's, you continue directly from the previous game in that you can do pretty much everything that you could do.
Yeah.
You start unlocking extra powers and stuff like that. So, yeah, you jump in, you're doing a cool little heist, and you can smash people up and force push them off balconies and shit straight away.
Yes.
The combat is again, similar to the first, enjoyable as a mix of using your force powers correctly, slowly developing them over time. You've got different lightsaber types to use, so like the regular or like dual wielding or double sided, and some others that you get in this. And that mixing between, you know, lightsaber, block, force push, da da da. Like, it's just fun.
Yeah,
it's an enjoyable, relatively simple thing compared to like a Souls, I guess, or a bit easier than that. But it reminds me a lot of like God of War.
Yeah, it's more, God of War, even it's more similar to like the Arkham games, where it's like,
right,
okay, crowd control, but mostly like block, dodge, punch, or lightsaber.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's...
The one thing that is hard to do with lightsabers in anything like this is it does feel like you're beating people up like Donatello with a pole.
Yeah.
Mm. At times where you're not, until you like kill someone, and then sometimes it'll do like a very violent for Star Wars kind of chop their limbs off type of thing.
Right.
But normally when you're whacking them with a lightsaber, they're not cutting in half in the way that you would think.
Yeah, they can magically block the lightsaber half of the time.
Yeah, and it just like scrapes them, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
But
there's
no way around that, really.
Not really. Unless you're only fighting people who are like also have lightsabers or like the big, you know, shocky things. I noticed like some of the AI guys being like, don't kill me. Like, yeah. It does lean into this weirdly violent version of Star Wars.
And it's doing so, like, the story, there's a bit of a time jump after the first one, and your crew from that, you've all sort of disbanded, and you've got this new crew who, I think there's like a little comic book or something for the in-between story that I haven't looked at. But in the game, it's doing a lot of the very, to me, funny thing of like, showing you these guys have known each other for a while by going like, huh, this is a lot like back on Scrakagus,
yeah,
when we had to glib-glop the flea flow.
And why don't you leave the computer stuff to me, the hacking computer nerd. Yeah. Thanks, Jim Jom.
You're going to mess it up like back on Skeezus. A lot of that stuff to quickly go, these guys know who each other are.
But how much of a role is this little toad man playing that I've been seeing on
Not
Twitter?
A big role.
No, he hangs around one town.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's just a goofy little guy. There's good goofy Star Wars looking guys that are voiced like Muppets because that's what they should seem
that's
like.
That's what they are. That's and the lineage.
It knows that it should feel a bit like a Western.
Yep.
And it's getting all the good version of Star Wars right, and a nice mix of like the stuff from the prequels and the stuff from the sequels, because it's set in between those two,
right,
when the Empire sort of at its height. So you got those goofy droids from episode one being like, oh boy, I'm having a great day.
Roger guys,
yeah,
that was cool to see them show up. Yeah,
yeah, it has a nice mixture of Star Warsy things and is treating it with just the right amount to me of like, hey, remember these guys? Anyway, whatever.
Yes.
Like, it's not focusing too hard on
it's
new or old.
It's not the Book of Boba Fett or,
It's getting the tone right and the story's fine. It's not incredible, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
You're having an okay time fighting the Empire.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, you know, fucking groundbreaking about this. It's not some game where I'm like, whoa, it's changed the landscape.
No.
It is a decent one of this type of action game, which, again, the Tomb Raiders, the God of Wars, that type of thing.
Well, there's also a point to be made, I guess, that like a licensed game that's good and fun, look how far we've come. Like, that's kind of groundbreaking in a way. Like, that wasn't always the case.
Yeah.
Something that kind of exists in the world of the movies instead of like something like a Super Star Wars back in the day is like, well, this is kind of devoid of anything from the actual movie.
Right. It's some of the best Star Wars stuff that's out right now.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like the customization has been a little bit amped up.
You can make him look like a fuckhead.
You can.
There's goatees and soul patches and shit where you can really create this fucking scumbag Jedi.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Nice little capes and stuff.
Yeah.
You can create a guy that there is no one else in the world of Star Wars that we've seen in any media that looks like this person.
Yeah.
So why would you ever think to make a soul patch when you've never encountered anyone else in the universe that has one?
It's really funny to make a Jedi who looks like he's going to ask his girlfriend for money.
Yeah.
That part of it is great.
The ultimate indignity to Brett Blake is to make him in this game, which you can do.
Joe Dirt the Jedi.
Yes.
All that customization stuff is fun. You can build your different lightsaber colors and all of that sort of thing.
Change your droid, your little BD-1 guy. You can change the colors.
He's
you can change
great.
The metal types. Yeah.
Going like, let's make your droid a dog.
He's a dog just a little dog and a cockatoo.
Who can jump. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing massively other than the technical side, which
right.
I don't want to be forgiving of, but will get fixed. So if you were picking this up down the line, I think it was a problem with the first one as well. And I think over time they fixed that up quite a lot.
Yeah.
It's
that's true.
A shitty way to do it, and they should. With a machine like Star Wars, it makes sense that there's not a ton of wiggle room before some other Star Wars thing is out, so they don't want to step on any toes.
Yeah.
But the effect is that this game doesn't feel finished, or at the very least doesn't feel polished.
It's a shame to be punished for going in day one.
You
know, like,
especially with like a single player, one playthrough kind of focused thing where it's like the time you're going to play is probably the only time realistically you're going to play it.
Yeah.
So for me, it will always have been in that state.
Which is the case with the first one for me. Yeah. I never finished it because there was a game-breaking bug.
Yeah.
But we've got some patron thoughts on this game as well.
Well,
if you want to dip into those.
Yeah. I feel like I had one other thing to say, but I'm pulling a classic Ben and then forgetting it.
Was it the forces strong with this game?
Was it Well, it came out. It had to come out just before May the 4th, right?
It made that's sense today.
To tie into that, an extra even marketing push.
I assume that if it were to come out in September, there's something they'll have in September. I don't think they have a movie, but you know,
one of those shows probably.
You've got to keep things on a schedule with these massive things. So, and they already did delay this a bit too.
True. The one thing that we can't speak to is the PC version, which apparently is like. Be like unplayably bad.
Yeah,
like a like level, apology. Right? Yeah, apology from Respawn level,
which was a dodgy apology too. I looked at that and I'm like, some people are fucking up how they're playing this time of the real me at the start
literally
of this podcast.
Sorry that your PC can't handle our
game. It kind of was like that. But and I also the PS5 version is I mean, having played the whole of the game now too, it happens regularly, and especially the areas towards the end ran worse and stuff, so it doesn't ruin it and it doesn't break it, but it's just you will notice that this
it's
is
a shame.
Game
yeah and it's I not mean, a cheap it's not a cheap thing to buy these days.
I would say that this is worth waiting on.
A lot of people don't go in on stuff day one, you know, they wait until it's on sale anyway, so probably by the time that happens then
they wait until three dumbass Aussie guys play it first and tell them whether or not they should.
The type of good it is too is the type of good that plenty of games are. So you're not like missing out on something by holding off on this, because it also does in a lot of ways feel like a PS3 era type of thing, and A, the way it runs, and B, just the structure of game this is.
Right.
Plenty of them are, but it is a good time and I enjoyed the adventure of it, you know.
Yeah.
It made me feel adventurous. I was running around Star Wars planets.
You were Star Wars and
I was out there using the Force and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I found the Force powers way less useful. Again, maybe it's because I'm like the first 3 hours of the game.
Yeah.
But I really did find focusing on getting good at the timing of blocking, parrying, and just attacking with melee stuff.
Yeah.
It seemed to be like, because you have like a special attack that you press with triangle or whatever that version is on Xbox, that just takes a lot of time and it gives the enemies so much opportunity to just jump in and start smashing you.
Yeah, it depends. Like, it kind of, because every enemy has like stamina that you can break down by deflecting attacks.
Like in Sekiro, and it's the parries called.
And all of that, whatever the meter is. And then you can do your holding down triangle sort of big attack in that moment if you want to.
Or
you can use that force meter for pushing is good.
Yeah.
Because it will like destroy the battle droid straight away. And people are very often standing near edges.
Yep.
And you can fucking fling them. And that's pretty satisfying. You get like a confuse power that I believe is from the original too, that like you can make people fight each other, and you develop all of these as you go. But the lightsaber is more fun to use as
Totally.
It's cool having a lightsaber and swinging it around.
So we got some stuff here from patrons. Matt says, builds nicely on the first, some minor performance issues I can't stop playing. That was, he also wrote a paragraph and then, you know, condensed that down to two sentences, which was nice of him. We've got Scott saying enjoying it a lot, some performance issues, but a recent patch fixed that. I feel it's quite hard to navigate sometimes and hate the hollow map, which I do agree with and was also a bit confusing in that first game.
Yeah, it's not great, especially for when you're sort of going through towards the back and going and looking at maybe the areas you didn't explore and stuff. It is not well laid out.
Yeah.
Because like playing Metroid Prime again this year was like, that's a nicely made map where everything's clear.
Right.
It's in 3D and it's like the same sort of see-through hologram style, but it's just a lot more readable. And this one
but
is
even
a,
that,
a little
you can
dodgy.
Find yourself if you, you know,
getting
if you've
turned
been
around,
like, looping it all around, you're like, oh God, which bit am I? I'm too zoomed in.
The idea of you just like wiggling that map around and throwing up in your chair.
Came close a couple times.
Lewis says, huge props for avoiding the typical sequel thing of starting your character with no abilities again and really just letting you get into it. I also have to say I'm really enjoying both the writing and acting for pretty much all the characters. Definitely my favorite Star Wars game since Knights of the Old Republic. Can't wait to play more of it.
Yeah, I agree that as well. The writing and the acting is decent. Like Grease especially is good.
Yes.
And
bit of a like Rocket Raccoon ripoff. But
he's got a lot more heart to him though, I find. Like there's some moments in the story where he's like, kid, come on.
That's
like,
Rocket Raccoon. I do think it's better than the first. I found the first, generally most of the writing, especially the dialogue, to be very like, it's good enough. It's good enough to get you from one gameplay segment to the next.
Yeah, I watched a like recap video of the first game and couldn't remember a fucking piece of it.
Mm.
And that game's maybe 3.5 years old now, mm-hmm. and I definitely played through all of it.
Yeah.
And this one, I think, is better in that way, where mm-hmm. the story is interesting.
Yeah,
and
yes.
It, for Star Wars especially, at the moment,
yeah.
In my opinion, it's doing one of the better jobs out of any of them.
Miles says that they are all in on Jedi Survivor. The addition of cosmetics have helped the exploration loop massively. Gives you something to actually explore for.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm lukewarm on the open world zone they've introduced. Would much prefer, and a couple of people said this, to have more linear levels and more linear planets.
I think that there is fewer planets in this than might be cool, because mm. part of the thing with Star Wars is, oh, get a load of this place, it's green, and this one's red, and this one's blue, mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. there's different looking. You maybe don't get as much of the galaxy hopping as might be nice.
Right.
But the environments are all, like, noticeably bigger.
Yep.
And the little puzzles and stuff you're doing once you get all your abilities, they're fun.
Yeah.
Again, like the Arkham games, if you've played Arkham, God of War, Tomb Raider, and like the modern ones,
yes.
and like those, this is exactly up your alley with a right. lightsaber.
Mm, Richard says, yes, the combat and platforming feels and looks great. The puzzles are fun and challenging, although I may need to lower the difficulty for some of the optional bosses.
They can especially get a little broken feeling.
Right, interesting.
There's one or two that really feel like they're not meant. It feels like you're playing someone who's like made a little mod for it or something.
Right,
like,
right.
The platforming that, was it Richard mentioned?
Yes.
There as well. That's worth noting that is noticeably active in this, in a way that a lot of this mm-hmm. type of game like Uncharted isn't, where I sometimes feel like with those you can just be sort of moving to the left and not actually doing anything.
Yep. Yeah.
There's no real platforming in those. This has a bit more of that because mm-hmm. you're sort of Jedi dashing around and whatever.
Yeah. Yes. Like even the climbing where, yeah, in an Uncharted, it's like, well, you just there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's more like, no, you have to be engaged because you need to like jump off here and maybe use a force power here. It's, yeah. yeah, it's more like a puzzle that's, yeah.
It's good active. In it. And it feels a bit more platformery, which also sometimes leads to it feeling a little dodgy occasionally yeah. when mm-hmm. it's like, I should have fucking hit that platform, I reckon.
Yeah. Or yeah, like a little like Skyrim, like just push up diagonally over and you'll be able to climb this mountain that you're not actually meant to be able to climb. Like a bit of
you can be knocking up against walls that it takes you in the wrong direction sometimes. But again, that's the sort of thing where you'll I think notice it more and more as you play the rest
right.
of the game.
Right.
It's not all condensed into early, yeah.
Yeah, and then while I'm at it, I got a couple of Redfall comments.
Oh, yeah.
Tolkien Taters, mm-hmm. Who's got a shout out before on the podcast in a very direct way. Redfall is bland as shit, just lacks a unique identity with disappointing combat, performance, and presentation, which I agree with, unfortunately. Lane says Redfall initial impressions is it looks low budget and it feels low budget. I feel like this will only be good with a group of friends, which, yeah, as you say, Nox, maybe we'll go in on the co-op and see how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, not me, Ben W.
That's you, Ben okay. Wennell.
Yeah.
And W's are pronounced as V, like Volkswagen.
Exactly.
True.
Ben Vavnell.
Ben
This could be German, Ben. Redfall is exactly the cheeseburger game I needed right now. Not groundbreaking by any means, but it's always fun to get a fresh idea for a co-op shooter. So again, if you have, you know, low expectations
right.
And are not particularly harsh on games and you just, you know, are looking for a bit of cheap fun, it could be worth trying. Well, I wouldn't recommend it, but
yeah,
it's up to you.
It's on Game Pass.
There have been a number of those sort of co-op, like that Alien one we played and a couple of others on Game Pass that have been more fun than I expected them to be.
Yep. Warhammer one was actually particularly good.
Yeah.
Darktide, so I think, yeah.
Game Pass is the right place for it.
Absolutely.
Hey, the fucking development room is the right place for it. Keep it going.
The trash can is the right place for it, if you ask me. I'm the king of Sting.
Well, that's going to do us for another week.
Mm.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod. If you want to get access to our bonus episode every week.
Yes.
And you can weigh in when we have big games coming out.
Yes.
Send us any more Redfall thoughts. We'll try and play a bit of that. talk about it a bit more in depth next week. And then, of course, Tears of the Kingdom will be soliciting all manner of opinions.
I'm going to also play The Last Case of Benedict Fox. That's on Game Pass. Okay. I think it came out the same day as Redfall. That's a sort of detective 2D platformer puzzle game, as I know. So,
sounds cool.
Yeah, yeah. Saw a few trailers for that. So if you are playing that, look out for the Patreon post if you're a patron and let me know what you think.
Great. Oh, and if you're in Brisbane, come and see me on May 18 at Good Chat.
Yeah.
Doing my show Scam Artist. Get tickets at goodchatcomedy.com. But yeah, we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
and may the fucking force be with yous. That's a fucking Australian Jedi. I'm from the planet Oz.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.